Ephesians chapter number 4. And again, greetings to all our friends in the radio audience and in the internet audience and all of you here in the building. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus and beginning with verse number 17. This I say therefore, and if you'd have to go back through the whole book to know why he put that there. Therefore, he's talking about the fact that you've been saved by grace, God's unmerited favor. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But we're his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created unto good works. And so he's established that salvation is by grace and not by works. You get saved, and then the works come after you get saved. And so coming down now to the end of the book, he begins to deal with the practical aspect of being a Christian, living like a Christian, acting like a Christian, and it all is because of the work of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. And so what comes out is what's on the inside. Now, if you do these things I'm fixing to read, that will not make you a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you ought to do these things, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Notice what he said, and I say this, I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and truth. Now I'm going to leave off the reading. I'm going to finish reading, but this is part of the introduction. I want to introduce it. There are three men in this passage of scripture I just read to you about. We're going to talk about Jesus in a few minutes. But the three men that are mentioned here, number one is the natural man. He describes it here. He said that you're to not walk like other Gentiles. Now, in that reference, he's talking about the natural man. And the second reference he makes to is the carnal man. And he talks about in verse number 22, notice, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, that's the old nature. That's the old carnal man. And so there's a natural man, which is he talks about in the beginning of the Gentile. There is a carnal man. That's the old man that's in me and you. And then he says this a little further down in this regard. He says in verse 24, and that you put on the new man. So here are the three men. There's a natural man. There's a carnal man. And there is the spiritual man. In the first place, the carnal, the natural man, that is every person who's never been saved. Now, he uses the term Gentiles, which speaks of all the population. Now, he's not doing that to exclude the Jews, but for reference for those at Ephesus to understand what he's talking about. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, according to the Word of God. And so these same characteristics hold true of the Jews, but he is pointing this message toward a Gentile population. And he wants them to understand that every man's like that. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And notice what that man, that natural man, and when I say it's talking about the person who's not saved, this is everybody, the natural man. What is it about them? Notice what he says about them. He says something in the first place about their mind. He said in verse 17, he said these Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The mind is vanity. That is, that their thought process is affected by their natural state. When a man is lost, he has theologically a depraved nature. He has a fallen mind. And you say, well, I've got a good mind. You may have a mind that's able to rationalize or think or to be educated and all those things, but you have a natural mind. You do not think spiritually, naturally. You mind earthly things. You're geared to the physical. You're geared to this world. And it is a corrupted mind. That's why out of that mind and out of that heart precedes all type of evil around the world. You people do things, you say, well, what were they thinking? Well, they were just thinking with a natural mind. But notice something else. Not only does he refer to their mind, but in verse number 18, he says something about their understanding. It is darkened. And that has to do with the idea of depravity. It has to do with the fact that he said in the book of Romans, they do not understand. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. People say, well, a person who is in the natural man, that is somebody who's not saved, doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God in them, they say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, sure you don't. The Bible said it is spiritually discerned. But you can understand what the Holy Ghost of God wants you to understand, and that is when he comes to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. With a natural mind, you can't understand this Bible. It's darkened. It's kind of like a little veil between you and spiritual truth. But when you get saved, praise God, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shines in your heart, and the Holy Spirit of God illuminates us, and he shows us the truth of the Word of God. He reveals truth to us, and you begin to learn the Bible. You begin to learn spiritual truth. But you can't understand spiritual truth. People, you talk to somebody about the return of the Lord, they say, well, I don't believe that. That's hogwash. I don't believe all that. Well, you can't convince them because they're in the natural mind. Their understanding's darkened. You say, well, I don't understand, man. They've got all these degrees. They've been to college and all that. Why do they not see it? Because their mind is darkened. Their understanding is darkened. That's the natural state of man. That's why it takes a regenerative work or the new birth for somebody to understand the things of God. The Bible says that the natural man cannot keep the law. He cannot be subject to the law, neither indeed can be, because his understanding is darkened. But now, not only does he say something about the mind of the natural man, he says something about the understanding of the natural man, but look down a little further. He says in verse 18, the latter part, and he says this, that these people, because of the blindness of their heart. And see, it's not only the rational part of that man, it's not only the understanding part of that man, but it is the innermost recesses of that man. Their heart is darkness. People are lost. Up there in the mountains, I rode by a couple of apple orchards. Did not see one orange on an apple tree. Now, I had some gourds growing on a peach tree. Some of you came by the house and saw that. I took pictures of it. But I didn't really have them growing on. Just had a gourd vine to grow up in the peach tree, and the gourds were hanging up in the peach tree. You know why an apple tree has apples? Simple. It's an apple tree. Do you know why an orange has orange trees? It's an orange tree. Do you know why people sin? Because they are sinners. And so their heart is darkened. Their mind is vanity. Their understanding is darkness. And in this passage of Scripture, the heart is blindness. They don't understand. They can't comprehend. But the human heart, the problem is the heart. The Lord, when he began to deal with issues, he did not deal with externals. He said, you white the sepulchres, but he said, your heart is dark. Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And he said, defilement comes out from within a man, out of his heart. And so that very essence of that person, that nature, they are depraved, lost. People are lost. They're just lost. That is the natural man. But look at the next man. He talks about this natural man, and he said you're to put off concerning the old man, verse 22. That's the carnal man. You see, when I got saved and you got saved, God did not eliminate or eradicate our old nature. You still got an old man. You still got an old lady living inside of you. I'm talking about that old nature, that old man. You see, when you get saved, you become partakers of a divine nature, but you still got an old nature. Paul gives it very clearly here. He spent much time dealing with it in the book of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, where he talked about when he do good, evil is present with him, and he finds the law working in his members. That's the old man. Everybody in here's got the old man. You still got that in you. It still battles you. You got a battle going on in you all the time. But then that's the part of the old man, and there's a way to deal with that. Now listen, if you're saved, you still got him in you. You still got him in you. And then notice the spiritual man. He said, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's that spirit part of you. When you get saved, the Spirit of God comes in you and he gives you a brand new nature. You're born again. The Holy Spirit of God comes to make residence in your life, but you still got an old man inside of you. You're not a natural man any longer. You have been redeemed. You're a child. Now are we the sons of God, but you still got an old man in you. The old man don't like to go to church on Sunday night. The old man does not want to tithe. The old man wants to do other things. But that new man is created in holiness. He wants to love God, serve God, be faithful to God. And so you've got a battle going on inside of you. And you got to learn how to have the victory over that. Now, notice a little further. Let's go down real quick. We're doing. He talks about those two men. Now, he says this. He said that you'll put off the old man and you'll put on the new man. You're to deal with that old man, that old carnal man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You know, he said this in the book of James. He said, when you're tempted, don't say you're tempted of God, said, but every man is drawn out and enticed. Enticed. I like that word enticed because I like to fish. Randy likes to fish. Wayne likes to fish. I like the enticement. He said, every man, this is when he says man, he's talking about men and women. When you disobey God and when you sin, it's because of an enticement. He said, they're drawn out after your own lust and enticed. It means that the devil knows how to put a fish bait right in front of you. He knows how to put that bait in there and make it look just right. Make it look like it will satisfy you and it'll give you joy that you're not currently having. He knows exactly what to do. And he knows your lust, and he knows my lust, and he knows just exactly. Now, if it's cloudy, you use a certain color bait. If you're fishing in muddy water, you use a certain color bait. If the fish are feeding on shad, you use a certain style of bait. If they're feeding on crawfish, you use something else. If they got the eyes turned up, like Mike Parker used to say, and they're feeding on top of the water, use a top water bait with spinners or like Brother Bobby Carr, a creek chub that you plunk, 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 plunk. Or if they're feeding on the bottom, you use a worm and fish it real slow on the bottom. If they're feeding aggressively, you can use a spinner bait. In other words, if you're a fisherman, and I know you ladies are just interested, you can't hardly wait to go on to another point, but if you're fishing, you consider the fish. And you got to present that. What I'm saying to you is this. The devil knows exactly how to present to me and you exactly what we're subject to hit and what we're subject to give into. Now, he said you got to put off that old man. You got to do that. And he talked to Timothy and he said you got to flee every appearance of evil. You can't hang around it. You can't get around it. Don't put yourself in that situation. That's why there's some things you ought not to listen to, some places you ought not to go. You ought not to hang around some people. It, because there's things that the devil knows exactly how to get you, and he's going to set a trap for you, and he'll catch you right in the jaw if you're not careful. But he said, you got to put off concerning the old man and put on the new man. Now watch what he says something about this new man. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, here's the difference between real Bible salvation and any kind of religion. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus was a very disciplined man. He had memorized the first five books of the Bible. He wouldn't do this. He wouldn't do that. He tithed mint and cumin and all those things. He was very meticulous about his religious duty and religious exercise. He wasn't like other men. He did not run around. He didn't have affairs. He didn't drink. He didn't take drugs. He was a religious man, but he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved because his thought was this: you have fellowship with God by what you do. You do, you do, you do, you do, and you come in fellowship with Him. But here's the great difference: this new man, notice the word created. That is the redemptive work of God. He said you become a brand new creature or creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He birthed something in you. It's not something you do, but it's something He does because of what He did on the Calvary. And when you come to know Christ, you don't get saved by doing certain things, but by being born again, and it is His creating in you a new man. He fashioned Adam out of the dust of the earth, breathing his nostrils the breath of life. Adam sinned, and he is the type of the first Adam, the natural man. But the second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're created in Christ Jesus. That is that you become a part of that new race. You become a child of the King. He births something inside of you. And you become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And he creates in you a new nature. And thank God for that. He's put that new nature in you. Now, here's what he said. He said, as that new person's inside of you, you no longer have to be subject to all the old things of the carnal man or even the natural man. You don't have to do those things. And you can put them off. You do it by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And then he lists them. I'm not going to try to deal with all these things this morning, but I'm going to show you something. Notice, first of all, the steps of putting on this new man. And he began, actually, before he says that, in verse number 3. He said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, God's working in my heart. I've told you about it. And this is kind of an introduction to this. In every one of you who are saved by the grace of God, there are things after you get saved that are still in you, part of that old man. You have some very deep wounds. Just about everybody in here has got them. Very deep wounds that are part of you. They're part of your life. And all those things that happened to you up to this point in your life have affected you the way you think, the way you act, and the way you do. Now, when you got saved, he put a new creature inside of you, but he did not eliminate your mind. There is inside of you memories and hurtful things in the past that God the Holy Ghost wants to do in what we call the process of sanctification to help you get victory over every aspect of that. As I've been studying this, I got to thinking. I said, Lord, help me to understand what it's like. He told the children of Israel, I'm going to give you this promised land. It is yours. It's yours. He gave you everlasting life. It's yours. But he said, you're going to inhabit this land a step at a time. He said, I'll not drive out all the enemies immediately. He said, but it'll be a daily victory. Now, sanctification, you get salvation, which God forgives all of your sins. But sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit of God in us, making us like Christ and what he did on the inside to look like that on the outside. And that is not an immediate victory. And it includes not only God doing in your life to where you start doing things. That is like attending church, reading your Bible, praying, so on, witnessing, passing, all those things. But there is inside of us an old man. And God the Holy Spirit wants us to get victory over all those things. And there are things ingrained in our old man, in the way he thinks, that God the Holy Spirit, through the work of the Spirit, will renew your mind. There's got to be some old things taken care of, but some new things implemented. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And some of those deep hurts that's inside of you, God wants you to show you that not only can I forgive you of your guiltiness of sin, but I can heal all of those hurts that nobody sees. I can take care of that. I can take care of the wounds of child abuse. I can take care of the wounds of infidelity and betrayal. I can give you victory over every bit of that if you'll put off the old man and let the new man be renewed in his by the Holy Ghost of God. God can give you victory. Does it happen instantaneously at salvation? No. That's why he said that. There has to be a renewing. He said in the book of Romans, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You get saved, your sins are gone, heaven's your home, but you still got old memories. You still got old wounds. You still got old hurts. And it has affected you, made you what you are. But the Holy Ghost of God now, who's me, created a new person, you wants that new person to be manifest through your whole life in your body, soul, and spirit. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit of God inside you. And that's what we call the sanctification of the Holy Spirit of God. Sanctifying you, making you more like Christ to give you that joy unspeakable, full of glory. Notice what he said. Here's a few of these things that he's going to give you some victory over, but it's a lot deeper than this. That's why I start off as he did with the renewing of the mind. He said, verse 25, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for you are members of one of another. And be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and even speaking be put away. Now, wouldn't it be something if you could live a life where there was absolutely zero bitterness in your life? And there is a wound in some of us and some of you in the radio audience and in internet audience, and deep under all the layers of your laughter is deep bitterness, a betrayal and abuse. Maybe when you were a child, a teenager, but it's still there. And he said, there's a way you can get rid of all that. He said, there's a way you can get rid of. And down deep inside, there's anger and there's wrath. You've been hurt deeply. And there's something in that old man and in the natural man that wants revenge. And when you get saved, all that's not gone. It's still there. It's part of your being. It's part of your mind. But the Holy Ghost of God can give you victory over that brokenness, over that bitterness, over that anger, over that wrath. And he wants to do that. He wants to give you that. And it's possible for you to live a life with no bitterness. It's possible for you to live a life that has no anger, no clamor, no evil speaking. And he said you can put away all those things without malice. And be ye kind one to another. Now watch. Be ye kind. He lists this last. Because be ye kind one to another. It's not just what you do. It's what you can become. The Bible said God is love. God's people, through the work of the Holy Ghost of God sanctifying you, can make you kindness. You can be like he is, kindness. And then he said, not only that, he said, but be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And here's why I'm going to, this all that was introduction, kind of, but here's what I want you to see. The Holy Ghost of God, working in my heart, working in your heart, wants us to bring us to Christ's likeness. It doesn't happen immediately when you get saved. He forgives you all of your sin. His forgiveness is first of all, he said, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Number one, he forgave you judicially. By that means, our transgressions. Transgressions mean you step across the law. We have offended the law. We broke the law of God, and therefore we are sinners. You broke that law, you're a sinner. And so there's a sin, there's a law, there's a breaking of that law, there's a punishment, the judicial punishment. Could be 6 months, could be a year, could be life, could be execution, whatever it is. But we do know this, the wage of sin is death. But God forgave you judicially. What's that mean? It means that when you came to Christ and you turned from your sin and turned to the Savior and you asked him to forgive you of all your sin, that all of our sin was put on Christ, and Christ's death paid all the due of the law. All the execution, all the penalty of the law, he satisfied. And so I'm free judicially. There's nothing on my account. There's no accusations against me, none against you. When Christ forgave you, he forgave you judicially. He wiped your slate clean. But he also forgave you not only judicially, but he forgave you, and for lack of a better word, and I use this phrase vicariously. What do I mean by that? It means that my forgiveness was not based on me. He said, God forgave me for Christ's sake. That doesn't mean that he forgave me so Christ wouldn't feel bad for his sake. We do something for somebody's sake, you know. I want to do this for mama's sake. I don't hurt her, be hurt, don't hurt her, be offended, anything else. No, I don't mean that at all. He said he forgave us based on what Christ had done for us. That's what he's saying. He forgave me not because I was repentant enough, not because I had been good enough, not because I've tried enough, not because I cried enough, but he forgave me vicariously. He forgave me for what Christ did. Whatever that penalty was, Christ satisfied it. He forgave me because of what Christ did for me. His forgiveness was based entirely on Christ. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm tickled to death over that. I don't know about you. Wouldn't it be something if you don't pray hard enough, you don't get forgiven? Wouldn't it be something if you don't do just right, you wouldn't get forgiven? But our forgiveness is based on what Christ has already done. And so he forgave us judicially, all the penalty. He forgave us vicariously. In other words, it has to do with Christ and not with me. But then I didn't know how to say this, what was in my heart, but I said he forgave us emotionally. By that, I mean this. There is such a thing as forgiving a debt. That's mentioned in the Bible. It goes on here in normal business practices, to forgive a debt. Somebody owes you some money and you forgive the debt. That means they don't owe you anything. It don't mean you like them. You understand? Somebody owes you a big amount of money and you kind of realize you're not going to get it anyway, so you just do a write-off. You forgive the debt. It's gone. They don't owe you anything. But you don't like them. But when Christ died for me, not only did he pay my guiltiness, and not only did he take all of my sin and everything he did was put on my account, and God forgave me because of that, but because of what Christ did, God the Father forgave me emotionally. I was alienated from him. I was an enemy. Truth of the matter is, the Bible said he's angry with the wicked every day. But when I got saved and you got saved, all the guilt of our sin was gone, and all the everything that Christ did was put on my account. But God was and I were reconciled. We became friends. He looks at me not as a wicked sinner who violated his law and all of those things, but he looks at me as a son. And you know what blows my mind, John 17? Jesus said, thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. When the Lord forgave my sin and saved me, God the Father looks at me and loves me just like he loves Jesus. Wow. And he does you the same way. And his attitude toward me is the same attitude he has toward Jesus. I have that relationship. You have that relationship because of what Christ did. And yet somehow or another, so many of people in this building and in the audience and the radio and internet audience, they live a life, even as a believer, of this thought, I've got to please him. I've got to satisfy him in some way. And I don't quite ever measure up. And we go around with a sense of guilt, with a sense of failure, with a sense of inadequacy all the time. But I want you to understand what Christ did for you on that cross brought you into a wonderful relationship with the Father. All your sins are gone, all the guilt's gone, but all the estrangement is gone. He loves you. I mean, there's not one thing he wouldn't do for you. You're the apple of his eye. You're precious in his sight. He loves you. You are his child. And what a blessing. And he said he wants us to come to that place and understand this, that his forgiveness was compassionate. He said we're to forgive one another and be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God forgave. His forgiveness was based on his compassion. He loved us, and his forgiveness was complete. Every bit of it's gone. And thank God it is constant. Constant. He put me in a relationship with him through his dear son that can never be severed. Now are we the sons of God? Doesn't yet appear what we'll be, but we know one thing. When we see him, we will be like He is. Thank God for that. What love, what compassion. You and I thank God for what He did for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, God the Holy Ghost wants to take what He's put inside of us and make it real on the outside through the work of the Holy Ghost of God. That's what He's talking about here in the book of Ephesians. For God to have me to get where I'm kindness, where I can love like Christ loved and forgive like Christ forgive, and not to have any bitterness or wrath or anything. And He said, you can do that in Christ, only in Christ. How do you do that? You put off the old man, put on the new man. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice what He said back up just a little bit earlier, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I've often wondered what that means. I always assumed it meant for me not to do anything in a act that would hurt Him or offend Him or cause Him to want to judge me, and I have preached it that way. But you know what? As I've gone through this, He said this, I love you, and I've forgiven every one of your sins. I put my Holy Spirit of God inside of you. I want you to have joy unspeakable, full of glory. I want you to feel my presence and the peace of God that passes all understanding. I want you to have all those things. And He said, let my Holy Spirit of God accomplish that in you. Let Him take away all bitterness, all wrath. Let Him bring you to a place where you can have complete forgiveness. And you know what? I think it's more than me doing something bad. It's me not letting Him do in me what He wants to do for my benefit and for His glory that grieves Him. Oh, He said, I could give you peace like you've never known. I can give you joy like you've never known. I can give you love like you've never known. But all you got to do is put off that old man, put on that new man. And He said, I can make you like that. And what grieves Him is when I don't let Him. And I won't yield to Him and surrender to Him. And let Him do in me what would manifest my walk in Christ. Make me like Christ. I want us to bow together for a word of prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed. The Holy Ghost of God's got a work He wants to do in my heart and your heart. When you get saved, all your sins are gone. All your memories are not gone. All your hurts are not gone. All your hang-ups are not gone. And the Holy Spirit of God wants to get you victory over every bit of that. That's the work of sanctification, putting on the new man. What's inside to be worked out on the outside. No need you going around being anxious all the time. No need you going around being fearful all the time. No need you going on with a sense of guilt or bitterness or just low self-esteem that you're not nothing. You just, nobody likes you and all the way. That's not where it's supposed to be. God, the Holy Ghost of God, wants to do a work in your heart to bring you to the place where you understand what Christ has done for you, and you manifest that in your life. You can be kind one to another, love one another, forgive one another because of what Christ has done in your heart and life through the work of the Holy Ghost. I'll just say this to you. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You've been laboring in the Christian life. It's a life of rest. He said, I can give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said, I can give you a peace of God that passeth all understanding. He said, the Holy Ghost of God shed abroad in our heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you be saturated with Christ. He said, it's possible for you to come to the place where every thought is brought into the captivity of Christ. I tell you, a lot more of this Christian living, this walk, than you ever imagined. And that's part of the Word of God working in our heart through the Holy Spirit of God. I'm telling you, there's a rest, there's a joy, there's a peace, there's a happiness for the saints of God that many people are not enjoying, although they're saved, that God wants to do in your heart and life. You need to recognize that old man. Let God do it in your heart. It's not by struggling, it's not by labor. It's by yielding to the Spirit of the living God in you. Will you let Him give you that touch? Will you let Him give you that healing this morning? He said, will you cast all your cares on me and leave them there? Let me take care of it. I'll give you victory. This is just the beginning of this series. on wounds that nobody sees. But I believe God, the Holy Ghost, wants us to understand the renewing of our mind, the transforming of our lives through the work of sanctification in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what you're supposed to do this morning. I believe I minded God. I believe Joe Barry, Brother Danny in the choir minded the Lord. Brother Danny, they changed that song. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God for Brother Joe Barry's song. He loves me. And he knows, I know him, but thank God he knows me. He knows all about you. The best thing is that he loves me. He knows me. I don't know what your need is this morning. If you're here and you're not saved, I'd love to see you get saved this morning. There's some men who pray with the men, ladies who pray with the ladies. If you've got a burden or care, you come and just cast it around the Lord on the Lord at the altar this morning. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. I want to pray, and while I'm praying, you come right on right now. Not keep you long, just to obey Christ. I want you to leave here with some victory. Leave here knowing he loved you. Leaving here that he's working in your heart and life and doing a great work in you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning. Our Father, my little mind cannot, Lord, just comprehend this morning what an awesome thing grace is. Lord, what you did for me and forgiven me, all of the judicial charges against me are gone. God, you've been perfectly satisfied with the sacrificial death of your Son. And God, all the emotional and, Lord, alienation is gone. God, you don't look at me as a saved sinner. You look at me as a child of the King. God, you don't even see anything that marked me as a wicked sinner. I'm now looked at, Lord, through your eyes of grace and through the blood of your Son, as a child of the King. God's hard for me to comprehend that. And God, my old man inside of me, God wants to keep raising up his head. And Satan and the world, the flesh and the devil, is a constant battle. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to help us to understand what you've done for us and to live in that victory, to walk not as other Gentiles walk, but learn to walk in the Holy Ghost, walk in the Spirit, learn to understand what you've done for us and to, Lord, put off the old man, put on the new man that's created in Christ Jesus unto holiness and righteousness. God, I pray you do that for folk. God, help them have joy. God's people ought to have a sense of peace and joy. You made it possible on Calvary. God, I pray you do that for them this morning. While we have our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, do you need to come get around this altar this morning? I don't know what you need to do. I came with a message on my heart that I believe will help you down the road. And if you'll hang with us and let the Holy Ghost of God do a work in your heart over these next several weeks, I believe God will do an awesome work in your heart and life. We live in victory. Live as spiritual people. If across this country, God's Holy Ghost would make these truths real, you'd never have a split in the church. You'd never have just one of them fall out, knock out Baptist business meeting. You wouldn't have them. You wouldn't have people doing and saying things around the house of God to hurt people, offend people. It'd be a wonderful experience if we just learned to put off the old man, put on new man, let the Spirit of God accomplish in us what he wants the Spirit. As our brother sings this song, you come. We'll go through one verse, and then I'll pray again. You come right now if you need to come. Join these here around the altar this morning while they're coming. You come right now. Ask God's Holy Ghost to speak to your heart. A few of our ladies would come and pray for Miss Debbie and Catherine on this side over here for just a moment. Just pray that they've got some burdens maybe for family. It should be a blessing if we had some of our ladies who'd pray with them about their needs, about their burdens. There's an element of the Christian experience and Christian life that so many church members don't know anything at all about. They've never put off the old man, put on the new man like they ought to. Learn to walk in the Holy Ghost and live for him. Have the power of God on you. Pray God to do it. Help us. Just as I am. Well, he loves you just like you are. He wants you to come just like you are, will you? But if you come to him like you are, you won't leave the same. He'll make a difference. Make a difference. While the music plays and people pray around the altar, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? Do you have Christ in your heart? He said, these things have I written to you that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know that you're saved. If you're here this morning and you said, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I wish you'd pray for me. I want to assure you I'm not going to come to you. I want to pray with you. I'm going to ask God the Holy Spirit to speak to you and help you. We are available. I'll help you. The other folk in this church will pray with you. They'll help you. But while no one's looking, folk, pray around the altar. I wonder if there's somebody in the building who wants to just slip your hand right up, give me time to see it, and then right back down and say, Preacher, if I died now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning across the building, right up, right back down? Anybody? Right up, right back down. I don't know I'd go to heaven, Preacher. I want you to pray for me. I'm honest enough about that. I just say, pray for me. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, God, for letting us be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you, God, for the wonderful singing of the congregation, the choir. Thank you, Lord, for Miss Brenda playing so beautifully this morning. Thank you, God, for Brother Joe Byrne. Lord, again, all those in the choir, for the blessed privilege of being in your house. God, I'm glad you made us, Lord, a new creature. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord, a new man that lives inside of us. God, help us to learn how to, Lord, to walk in the Holy Ghost. Let God change us, make us different, cause us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us that joy unspeakable. Give us that peace of God that passes understanding and a power beyond ourselves. God, help us to be kind. Help us to be forgiving. God, help us to love like Jesus loves. And God will give you praise and honor and glory in the strong name of Christ. Amen and amen.